The Israel Report with Rolien Marks.
I hope I've got old Rolien back again this afternoon.
What's wrong with spiky Rolien?
No, spiky Rolien went down really well yesterday. In fact, I got comments of the more spikes, the better.
Oh, well, then allow me to bring my spikes in future.
Ro, we have got lots to get through this afternoon, but something that wasn't planned was this remarkable story of the joint military marine maneuvers.
Yes. So what we do know is that we have our navies from the United States, Bahrain, the United Arab Emirates, and Israel all training on maneuvers.
Absolutely remarkable. Who would have thought? If you told me this 2 years ago, I would have said you were smoking something, and quite remarkable. All right, so then let's move on to what we had a plan to talk about, and this is also a fascinating story. New York Democrat governor apparently blasting anti-Israel party members.
Yes, well, this is Kathy Hochul. She is the first female New York governor. She's a member of the Democratic Party, and she says she rejects those questioning our commitment to Israel. She says, as a member of Congress a decade ago, I stood firm with Israel when they were under assault, and even more recently as a Democrat now, I reject the individuals in my party who are making this an issue and questioning our commitment to Israel. And she was addressing the Jewish Community Relations Council of New York. Now, what is very, very interesting is that while she's making that speech, there is a delegation, a J Street delegation in Israel, including Jamal Bowman. He's a congressman for the Bronx. And I think it's Westchester, I could be wrong, but he's a congressman from the United States. This group, this J Street group, have actually met with Yair Lapid and Prime Minister Naftali Bennett. This has broken the longstanding kind of reluctance of our leadership to meet with J Street delegations. I know that there will be listeners who oppose this. I think it's always good to have engagement of some kind, as long as, of course, it is respectful. But Jamal Bowman, now here's where the controversy comes in, Simon. And here, guys, I'm going to get a bit spiky. Well, you asked for it. Mm-hmm. He's been very busy on Twitter, as have I. So he went on Twitter yesterday saying he's in Hebron and he's been speaking to Palestinian youth. I wonder if he's going to be speaking to any Israeli youth in any villages. And he says all they want is freedom. Now, if we can just remind the congressman that Jews only have access to 3% of Hebron. And unfortunately, we do have to maintain a very, very high military presence because of the city holy to Jewish people, because it has the caves of the Ma'arat HaMachpelah, the caves of the burial places of the foremothers and forefathers, holy to Jews, very holy to Muslims as well. But we just want to remind him that it's a tinderbox, and unfortunately a security presence is needed. Also, he paid tribute to Kristallnacht, which you and I have been speaking about, but neglected to mention that it was targeted at Jews. Thinking maybe he'll correct himself, off he went to Yad Vashem and spoke about the people who had been targeted by hate, but again, forgot to mention Jews, which I find absolutely flabbergasting at a place like Yad Vashem. He has been roundly lambasted by many of us saying, yeah, you know, it's okay to say the word Jewish. And he has acknowledged it and said Jewish people killed in the Holocaust. But it really bothers me that when we talk about hatred directed towards Jews, that there are elements within leadership around the world that cannot say the word Jews and cannot say the word anti-Semitism.
Let's stick on that theme for a moment and talk about the Duchess of Cambridge opening a Holocaust museum, apparently in the Imperial War Museum.
Well, this was very, very moving. You know, many people may be aware or may not be aware that the Duchess of Cambridge, also known as Kate, William's wife, Prince William's wife, she does a lot of work with Holocaust survivors. She's very dedicated to preserving memory and education. Just a couple of weeks ago, she was with Windermere survivors, and yesterday she was reunited with several survivors whose pictures she had taken for an exhibition, working in conjunction with the Jewish News and the Holocaust Memorial Trust and the Imperial War Museum. If you are ever in London, or if you're listening from London, really a fantastic museum to visit. And yesterday she inaugurated the new Holocaust wing and Holocaust exhibition. Very touching to see her go up to the survivors and say, "I would like to give you a cuddle," and them throwing their arms around her and giving her a big hug. But very important imagery, especially since the heartbreak of watching what happened to our ambassador, Tsipi Hotovelli, in the streets of London, outside London Economic University or London School of Economics, as well as some of the horrendous rhetoric we heard earlier this year. But today is also a very important day because it is Veterans Day in the United States. It's also Remembrance Day across the UK and the Commonwealth. And it's an opportunity to remember those who have and continue to serve, and those veterans, those who paid the ultimate sacrifice, those who carry the scars both within and without. And for me, it's poignant because I always think of those allied forces who liberated the death camps and Russian forces who liberated us from those from the utmost horror.
Let's move over to local Israeli politics. Mansour Abbas of Ram apparently meeting with the King of Jordan. I find that particularly fascinating because he's meeting with the King of Jordan before he's meeting with the PA president.
Well, this is a very difficult decision for him to do. He said, you know, he's kind of damned if he does and damned if he doesn't. But off he is to meet with a King Abdullah. And very interesting body language in the images that came, them leaning into each other despite the social distancing. But this meeting did take place last month. It has been made public by the Royal Palace in Amman. And it seemed largely as not just a support, a show of support for the Ra'am party, but also a support for Israel's government. And this follows reports that we've had Benny Gantz meeting with King Abdullah. We've had Yair Lapid meeting with King Abdullah. And this extraordinary move now from Jordan as well as Egypt, taking those very tentative steps towards a much more warmer peace. You and I spoke the other day of the stately on purpose picture from a German pilot that showed Jordan participating in blue flag aerial maneuvers. And we've heard a lot of rhetoric from Egypt about increasing economic cooperation, maybe even tourism. We now have direct flights between Cairo and Tel Aviv. And we also had a high-level military meeting between Egyptian military leaders and Israeli military leaders in the Sinai. So it does look like the region is heating up, but not because of climate change or because of volatility, but because of, thank goodness, moving towards warmer peace.
And then our last issue this afternoon, I read about COVID war games and I thought Rolene needs to explain that to me. What is a COVID war game?
Well, you know, one always worries when you hear COVID and war game in the same sentence, Simon. But basically our COVID war games, the Omega Wars, is to bring in all the relevant ministries to evaluate how prepared we are should the Omega variant break out in Israel. You know, we've opened up to vaccinated individual tourists. We're opening up to vaccinated tour groups of up to 40 people. But this exercise will include like senior level officials from the health departments, from legal departments, from the economic departments, from security, travel, communication, and we'll look at ways how to handle gatherings, quarantine, events, tourism, more. So I think that what we're looking at is extreme preparedness. This is very much Naftali Bennett. We saw it as he was the defense minister during the first wave. And he says, you know, while in some places in the world the coronavirus situation is deteriorating, Israel is safe and secure. But to maintain this and to continue our daily routines, we must keep our finger on the pulse and prepare for any scenario. So he's doing exactly that.
Rolene Marks, thank you for your input this week. We'll chat again next week.
Sparks and all.
Sparks and all, you best believe it.